for he was killed. But he gave Daniel that. And verse 30, and that night was Belteshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And so there he is. But verse 29, then commanded Belteshazzar and clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be a third ruler in the kingdom for the until the kingdom is taken over. But the Medes and Persians comes in, and amazingly enough, they leave Daniel alone. Matter of fact, they start looking who can run the kingdom here, and they find out Daniel's incredibly competent. So I want to give you some lessons from Daniel here. First of all, the Lord's cream rises to the top. The Lord's cream rises to the top. We see in 529, he honored him, and then the former kingdom, and then the new kingdom comes in, and there we go again. Chapter 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom in 120 princes that should be over the whole kingdom. Remember, Babylon's out now, and Media Persia, it's a two-headed kingdom, and the Bible's going to talk about that in prophecy in great detail. It's a two-headed kingdom. Media Persia eventually becomes Persia, and Persia eventually becomes Iran. So it kind of gives you, we're going from Iraq to Iran, ruling the world. Because Babylon was Iraq. Babylon is 50 miles south, a little bit east of Baghdad. So a lot of soldiers went and saw Babylon, and it's a ruined city that is there. It's about 50 miles southeast of Baghdad. It's well known exactly where Babylon was. So the Medes and the Persians are coming in, and they are taking over. And they're going to set leaders, 120 princes over everybody. And verse 2, and over these, the 120, three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. And that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage or no loss or anything. So, got this kingdom, 120 princes scattered throughout the whole world kingdom of Media Persia. These 120 reported to three, Daniel and two others, and Daniel was atop of those three, and these people would go to the king and say, this is what's going on all throughout your province. And so that was Daniel. Daniel was, again, number two. Who else is number two in their kingdom, in the Bible, and rose to the top?
Joseph.
God had a purpose for them, and they rose up because they did good, because they did the right things. Because we talk about Sunday night, proper followership. And God's blessing. And God blessed them in a great way. And so he's this number three. Well, they're jealous of Daniel. They're jealous of Daniel. But the Lord's cream rises to the top. Paula, you would not believe what they do to keep Paula in the Air Force and to keep her working for them. They bring toys for Grant to play with. She can bring her son. She picks your schedule. She can. I can't even tell her half the stuff. It's probably illegal, and it's your taxpayer money. And she can do whatever she wants because she can get such an incredible amount done that nobody else can do there at the Air Force Base. And she tells me, Pastor, it's not like I do anything incredible. It's just nobody does anything. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think. I've driven by, and I told him, I've driven around the third world and seen how hard people work sometimes. I'm thinking what they're getting for that. And I see that working. I would hate to work what you're doing. I don't know if I could rise above those people in the fields there working that hard. I don't think physically I could, you know. But in America, man, there's some lazy people out there. There are some people who every time the boss is looking. I had a guy who told me he's working a big construction site. And he says, we got a guy who spends his first 2 hours, whatever he's doing, he's looking for a hiding spot to go sleep. And he says, this guy can find spots to sleep that nobody will ever find him. And this guy, you know, he's partying all night, comes to work, and the first 2 hours he's kind of working, kind of looking around, and he'll find some nook and cranny nobody's been into, and he'll say they'll not see the guy for like 4 hours, and once in a while, you know, somebody's going there and wake him up, you know, and he'll think it's scare him, think it's a supervisor. This guy's sleeping behind a pile of boards somewhere. There are a lot of lazy people out there. How many people have lazy people at your job? How many of you are the... No, I won't ask you. Listen, God's people, we have two things. One, we should just be hard workers because we're working for Jesus.
Amen.
But secondly, God's going to bless you if you're working hard. The Bible says promotion, Psalm 75, promotion cometh from the Lord. And I think if you work hard and get God's blessing on you, you'll find favor in the eyes of your boss and you do it for God. I'm not saying every job, every situation, but I think that's kind of a general thing that happens. And especially when God has a purpose for you to be used in a special way, like Joseph or Daniel, the cream rises to the top. And I think that's good. And I think that you might do a good job and not be noticed, but that might be because you're not doing it for Jesus. Or it might be because it's not time yet. But you keep on doing your best, and many times it rises to the top. Next, keep a great testimony. Don't give the enemies any ammo. Keep a great testimony. Verse 4, the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Let's try to find what he's doing wrong against the king. We can't stand this guy. But they couldn't find a thing. Oh, that's so good. But they could not find, they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Boy, I wonder how many of us that could be said about. If someone's looking for you to mess up, looking for that one time you're disloyal to the company, one time you're cutting corners or not doing your job or cheating or stealing or doing something, and they said, we can't find anything. Well, what a good testimony that is. I think it's great that they couldn't find anything on Daniel. Now, don't think that's the end of the story. If somebody wants to try to destroy you or ruin you, they're not going to stop with what is true. They didn't stop with Daniel, really. They couldn't find anything real, and I think that's good. There's a great verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. It says, you do such good that whereas they speaking evil of you will be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. 1 Peter 3:16. In other words, they're trying to find something on you, but they're ashamed because there is really nothing there. Listen, if there is something, look, the world is looking to find that we're not right, because then they're off the hook. We're born again. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Bible-believing Christians. We're different. So if we don't really live it, then what we have isn't really true. And so they watch. They're looking for you to be wrong, because then, oh, see. Remember that when I said my relatives going, yeah. They're looking for that. Live in such a way. The Bible says, be blameless. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Why? Because if, don't give them any ammo. The one time you lose your temper, the one time you slip up and say the word, the one time you tell a joke, they're going to bring that up for years. Well, you did this. You said this. Now, it doesn't matter what they did. They said 50,000 cuss words, and you slipped up and said cuss words one time. And you say, you know, would you please not say those words? Well, you said this one time 4 years ago. I mean, it's just, you got to not give them any ammo. You got to, and Daniel had, they had no ammo on Daniel. So that's wonderful. He had that great testimony. Three, troubles often abound for those who make a great impact for God. Troubles often abound for those who have a great impact for God. Think about this book of Daniel. Chapter 1. What happens in chapter 1? Daniel wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat, and his life's in danger. Chapter 2. Tell me the interpretation of this, or I'll cut you in pieces and make your house a dunghill, and they're going to kill all the wise men. Daniel almost dies there. Chapter 3. Bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And his three friends are thrown in the fiery furnace. Chapter 6, this story, eventually, they get something on Daniel and they throw him into the lion's den. These folks, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, in a wicked, corrupt culture, have all kinds of troubles. They're just, the devil's after them. I mean, I don't want to say this, just because you have troubles in life doesn't mean that you're displeasing to God. It means you live on earth. And it means maybe mean you live in a wicked culture. You're gonna find your own family sometimes, broader sense of the family. You're gonna find they'll get along better with each other than with you. You'll just find that. If they're not Christian. You'll find that at work other people will get along better sometimes, even though you're kind of nice, And they'll kind of try to find fault in you because you're a Christian. You're just, the trouble comes sometimes to God's people. Not always. I have watched, and one of the craziest things in the world to me is the godly people who come into trouble. I look historically, I think of people, and I look at what people who've done wonderful things for the world, and many times how they are in trouble and attacked. I mean, I could never believe that people like great men of faith and prayer who start orphanages, people attack them and are after them. And all they're doing is feeding kids who didn't have parents and taking care of those kids. And what's the guy's name? Did you do a blank on the guy's name? Mueller. Why did Mueller have enemies? All he did was never ask anybody for money and feed orphans and take care of them. And those orphans grew up very well and did well. But look in the New Testament. The only thing Peter did was heal a guy who could never walk for his whole life. And he was in all kinds of trouble for it. Mm-hmm. What do you think they would say? All right, you know what? I don't agree with you guys, but that's pretty cool. The guy's been there for 40 years, and now he's walking. But they got in trouble for it. What about Jesus? I mean, really, what did he do bad except for heal people and feed people? He healed lepers, he healed blind people. I mean, you think he didn't kill anybody, didn't start a riot? He wouldn't let them start a riot. And they wanted to kill him. The trouble that comes, and we've had so many kind and nice people come to our church, and some of them are a lot nicer people than me. And I'm telling you, if you knew the troubles they have, if I had them come up there and I said, tell them what you've gone through in the last 5 years, you'd be shocked. How could anybody treat you like that? I mean, Brother Goddard, Brother Cheney, these guys, you think those guys are just so sweet-spirited? Brother Mutchler, they tried to throw him out when he was on vacation. For his first vacation of 5 years. I mean, Randy Johnson, one of our missionary, he was a good guy living in Okinawa and pastoring, and he went back to the States for throat cancer treatment, and while he was in first week he went away, they tried to throw him out of the church. They tried to vote him out. He had to come back and stop his treatment. Come back to the church. I have a pastor, a friend who's not a pastor right now, nicest guy, he's so nice, such a gentleman. He had three churches, all three churches he had uprisings against him. And literally, it's because he was so sweet-spirited and gentle, they knew he wouldn't fight back. And all three churches, he just left, he didn't want to fight. He's just a nice guy. His wife told me, he's too nice to pastor in America. I thought, too nice to pastor? What kind of world are we living in? I'm just telling you, I look at some of these nice guys, these sweet-spirited men and women who just do good. Amy Carmichael, taking care of destitute people who are temple children, temple prostitutes in India, and she had to flee for her life. Why? Because trouble comes to people who God's using. Why? The devil's after them. Daniel, you really don't find him doing anything here. Wrong. Anything against him? You don't find any record of him causing problems to the guys. They simply just went after him. And I don't know why, and you can't explain it sometimes, but you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution, and troubles just come. And Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, be of good cheer, for I've overcome this world. Acts 14:22. It says you through much tribulation must enter the kingdom of God. I want to say this. It doesn't mean to get down or have this complex. Those men I talk about, they're up and happy and life's good to them. You know, Brother Trock, he's had big problems. What a nice family. I mean, those people, you'd never know about them. They have battles. Because anybody who's God's using, things just come against them. And it's not necessarily people, it's not necessarily a rebellion. Sometimes it's personal, it's their family or whatever. And laymen I've known who are just great laymen, godly, serving the Lord and God's using them, They just, now it's not a bad life. It's not, I'm miserable. Their life's great. They're upbeat. They're happy. They're doing good. I'm just saying trouble comes. Trouble comes good in earth, but trouble comes those who God's using in a special way. It's not anything to get down about. It's not anything to say, oh, you know, oh, woe is me. It's just say, you know what? Devil's after me. Lord, I need you more. And go on to be happy and have a great life. It's an upbeat life. It's a happy life. It's a joyful life. My joy no man takes from you. But what I'm going to say, trouble comes. Trouble comes. And that's okay. Because we got a big God who can take care of it. And Daniel, in this story here, he gets thrown into a lion's den for doing nothing but praying. Doing nothing but praying. He didn't try to usurp the king's authority. He didn't do anything. He prayed. And just like Jesus and just like the apostles, and that's why we've got to be peaceful people. Because we're going to have enemies against us. But if we are peaceful, in the end, they'll get saved. When you're Paul watching Stephen get stoned, and he's saying, Father, forgive them, pretty soon you have a big impact on Saul, and Saul gets saved. And so that's great. We can have that. And so trouble comes, but you know what? God's a deliverer out of our troubles. Amen?
Amen.
God delivers us out of our troubles. And though when we get in trouble, it's an opportunity for God to show his glory and his power and what he can do to give us victory in a great time. And you know what? I think it's probably pretty cool there in that lion's den. Lion, only chance you get to pet a lion. And so he gets to be in there with them. All right, we got to go. We got to get out there and get ready for Africa Day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to teach your word. And Lord, as we're going to go into the greatness of this story, it's a lot of fun, Lord. And I thank you for it. Lord, thank you for Daniel and his great testimony that he kept and good example for us to live under authority. I pray we grasp these truths. And I pray we just know the joy of serving you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.